The gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the gospel according to John, the 11th chapter, verses 32 through 44. Let us hear now the word of the Lord. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." You may be seated. Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would come over us. Oh God, we pray that you would overcome us. Amen. Christian author Eugene Peterson, who actually passed away recently, perhaps best known for his translation of the Bible known as The Message, once defined the church or described the church in this way, that the church is equal parts mystery and mess. Equal parts mystery and mess. If you have been in a church for any length of time, you know that things can be quite messy in a church. And I don't mean just dirty. I mean, church is a place where people have their deepest needs met and where grace is extended to circumstances and in moments of grief and difficulty. Church is a messy place. But church is a mysterious place. In fact, every week we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, that Christ has risen, and Christ will come again when we come to the table. We don't fully understand it. It is far beyond us. But I would submit to you that just as the church is equal parts mystery and mess, that in the church we find that there are also equal parts of solemnity and joy. Now, solemnity is a weird word, but I needed to make it a noun. But the church is a sacred place. This worship space where we come, we see it in a way as holy ground, as anointed ground, as a place set aside for us to worship God. But oftentimes what can happen is that, well, and perhaps you've been in a worship service that felt like drudgery. It was like a funeral dirge. And like it would never end. You look at your clock and you go, it's been 5 minutes. It seems like 5 days. The church is a place where we uphold the sacred. There is a gravity to what happens when we come together as the church and worship. But there is also to be joy. Not empty joy. We just celebrated Halloween. Not like the joy of a candy corn that gives you a sweetness on the tongue for just a moment and then a bellyache for hours. Not that type of empty, hollow joy, but a sense of deep joy that goes beyond the circumstances of life, that calls into question and into remembrance the most sacred, deep, and important parts of what it means to be holy, what it means to be human, what it means to be made in the image of God. And today, in this passage, we have all of this, the mystery and the mess, the solemnity and the joy, all wrapped in together. We come and we see this picture of Mary, who first runs up. Mary and Martha both are sisters of Lazarus, who has died. Jesus had already gotten word that Lazarus was gravely ill, and he had been asked to come to heal his friend Lazarus. Jesus didn't come with haste. We've been in the Gospel of Mark for a long time, and oftentimes Mark uses this word, this immediately, or straight away. Jesus goes straight away here. He goes straight away there. Immediately, he's on the move. It's a gospel of action. But in John's record of this, Jesus took his sweet time. And so the first words in the midst of her grief, in the midst of her pain, as Mary runs up to Jesus, she says, "If you had been here, you could have prevented this." And I'm so thankful that none of us ever accused Jesus like that. It appears, as the story unfolds, that Jesus is too late. That the work that he could have done can no longer be done. Because Lazarus, who was sick, who could have been cured, is now dead. Now let me just say that we come into this place, and this story is filled with the messiness of human life, the grief and the sorrow of losing a loved one. Mary is weeping. Mary is not only weeping, but the Jewish community that surrounded her is weeping with her. Many of us, in fact, I would say almost all of us gathered in this place, know those moments of sadness and sorrow in which we not only grieve, but we need others to grieve with us. We need tears shed from our own eyes and from the eyes of those who love us. And that's what happened in this place. Mary and Martha were weeping. And Jesus was moved as well. He was moved not only by the grief of the sisters and the grief of the community, but by his own grief as well. The Jews noted this. See how he loved him in verse 36. See how Jesus loved Lazarus. But I think it is too late. Now let me just say that as Jesus arrives, the tardiness of his lateness is noted in that not only is he late, not only did he get there after Lazarus has died, it's a significant time frame after Lazarus has died. When Jesus commands that the stone be rolled away from the cave where they have laid the body, Martha points out the humanness, the reality of the situation. Jesus, you don't want to do that. It's been 4 days. And I will say this, when we gather for worship, particularly as Protestants, we don't have any incense or any of that kind of stuff. We worship visually, we worship with our ears, but we don't worship with our smell so much. But in Scripture, there are so many stories in which there has got to be so much smell to it. Imagine the birth of Jesus in the place where the animals were kept. Now, I know we're mainly a suburban kind of congregation here, but perhaps you've been in a barn. They don't sell candles at Yankee Candle or Williams Sonoma or Bed Bath & Beyond that says barn. If they did, they wouldn't smell too good. It is the reality of life. The life is messy. But here we are reminded that Jesus has come to us. And Jesus has not just come to be with Mary and Martha in the midst of their grief, but we've got to remember in confirmation today, the confirmands, we talked about the way that the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together, how the Old Testament begins to tell the story that we couldn't understand exactly who Jesus is and all that Jesus has done if we didn't have the Old Testament and the New Testament together. The Old Testament reminds us that all of creation was made by Jesus, for Jesus, and through Jesus. as Paul writes in his letter to the church of Colossae in Colossians 1. But we also know that in the infinite love that God has for us in His grace and His mercy, Jesus didn't just come from Bethlehem to this place to be with them, but He left His heavenly throne. He put on flesh as John begins his gospel. He was made human. Jesus is infinitely God, and yet He chose to limit Himself to come and to be born of a virgin, to be laid in that manger in a place that didn't smell so great, out of the greatness of His love for you and me. And let me just say this, that for some of you here today, you may say, it's too late. But let me just tell you that this morning you are in this place, and for you, Jesus is right on time. I'm reminded of those words of the apologist Ravi Zacharias, who said, we must always remember, and in fact, we must keep at the center of the church this reality that Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people live. Far too often in America, particularly in the last century or so, we have made Jesus to be far smaller than He is. We have relegated Him to some bit part in our betterment of ourselves, in some kind of self-help sense. We are reminded that all of us, we are like Lazarus. We are helpless, we are in the tomb, and we've been stinking for days. And for Lazarus, it is into that reality of death that Jesus speaks His name. Lazarus, come out. And it is today, as we are gathered in this place, that Jesus says to us, He calls each and every one of us by name, and He says, come out. Come out from your death. Come out from your slavery to sin, which will lead to death. Come out and be born again today. The title of this sermon is Let Them Go. Because one of the most profound things to me is that in the midst of this passage, as Lazarus is called out, he is called out not just from death, but to be freed from death. Jesus says, take off those rags of death that cover him, and let him go free. You and I, we are in this place, and we are called to freedom in Jesus Christ. We are called to freedom in Jesus Christ because of what He has done for us. But we are also in this place to be heralds of that good news to the world, to be ambassadors for Christ in the world. We are in this place, and we are to be reminded also of those whom we have remembered this morning and the many more on our hearts that have gone before us, that have passed on the faith to us. I'm reminded of these words Paul writes to Timothy. 2 Timothy Chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. The faith that we have in Christ Jesus is a faith that is ours, but it is a faith that has been passed on to us as well. So we come today to hear this good news that is for all the world. But Jesus did not come to make us better people. Jesus came that we who are dead might be made alive. We come and we are reminded of the eternal reality that even though there is life and there is death, that there is life beyond death in Christ Jesus. We come to know of our salvation that is for us and for the whole world.